Right, as you can see, I did a project on sensor-based site-specific nitrogen management in cotton. This project was initiated in 2007 at Clemson University's Edisto Rec. And the main goal of the project is to give producers and consultants effective and affordable tools for nitrogen crop management. This presentation is kind of give you some of the results from 2009 and the study I did then. On the acknowledgments for it, we appreciate the support from Cotton Incorporated, the South Carolina Cotton Board, and Clemson University PSA for the project. Our objective one was, Clemson already developed an algorithm. We're working on basically refining the algorithm, kind of incorporating soil electroconductivity into it. This is a test field. It's about a 6-acre field on the station there in Blackville, South Carolina. It was broken into three zones based on soil EC. As you can see, most of the time soil survey maps, they're not always reliable. It felt kind of good for us in this case because it correlated well with the EC, like where the soil texture divisions were. There are three soil types, as you can see, and like I said, we had three zones there basically on EC. Our treatments for the algorithm refinement objective were the three zones based on soil type, five N rates in each zone, and each of those N rates replicated four times per zone. Cotton variety planted for the test was Delta Pineland 0935 and the B2RF. It was planted, that's late date, 6/3/2009, because we had an extreme rainfall earlier in May that actually flooded out our first planting. Plots were irrigated five times for 2.7 inches. Again, we had lots of rain all that year, so we didn't need too much irrigation. We had a pre-plant of potash there, 0060 at 200 pounds per acre applied to the field. The rest of the cotton was grown out of maturity using normal applications on PGR, pesticides, herbicides, whatever, based on crop advisor recommendations. Our NDVI sensor readings, we use the Intech RT200 system there. It's a six-row system, and we this year we put a NORAC height controller sensor on it, and that's to standardize our height collections. I also took the sensor readings at standard time and weather conditions every time I did it, same time every time I collected them, and I tried to judge visually, you know, if it was cloudy, I would wait to the next day until it was actually approximately the same sun and all that. NDVI was collected five times, and this was used in making the yield prediction equation, and also to normalize the NDVI, we used the equation of in-season estimated yield, and it's just the NDVI over the days of emergence to sensing because your NDVI numbers change throughout the growing period. There's a graph kind of representing the yields from the three different soil zones there. As you can see, they all level off somewhat. There's no longer, if you look, somewhere around 80 to 90 pounds through here, you begin to get a level. I mean, you have an increase throughout, but there's not much yield response once you get over that level. This is the yield prediction equation that was formed for 2009 from the data collection that we had. We compared it to the 2008, which was, you can see a definite shift there. They kind of follow the same trend, but what we thought and what happened in the years, in 2008 we planted triple nickel basically, and then the 0935 in 2009. So it's kind of thought that it may be, the equation may be variety dependent, and this is something that we're possibly going to test in the 2010 growing season. The combined equations, that lowers your R squared value and your correlation, but if we use it, it was still good enough for nitrogen management in the cotton crop. Summary of objective one, there is a potential to use mid-season plant NDVI data for the nitrogen rate or for predicted nitrogen needs. In lower EC areas, you've seen that, like in the sandy soil, the more nitrogen you put, the more response you had. Medium to high EC, there was not much response over 90 pounds per acre. But thus, due to this, soil EC should be included in the N rate prediction equation for southeastern coastal plain. Objective two was basically just to compare the algorithm, just to make sure that it's kind of, you know, going along the standards that it needs to with other southern U.S. algorithms. The treatments for this test were basically we used Clemson algorithm, and since ours were similar to Oklahoma State's, we used the Oklahoma State algorithm, then the conventional farmer method for South Carolina, which was a 90 pound per acre application. In this, we broke it in the same three zones in the same field. There were four replications per algorithm and method per zone for a total of 30 something plots there. In each zone, we also put out one nitrogen ramp calibration strip. It just basically starts the first plot zero and works up at about every 16 feet. It changes rate at 10 pounds per acre all the way up to 150 pounds per acre. You can see the two algorithms here, like I earlier stated, they're pretty similar. The main difference between the two is there's your in-season expected yield and your response index. Everything else is pretty standard on them. Oh, touchy. And the predictions from those algorithms are basically the Clemson there predicted the siders. All of the practices we put out that 30 pounds per acre planting, except in our completely zero zones. But the Clemson predicted 24 pounds per acre. That was due to equipment limitations. The pump couldn't go any lower. It was actually closer to like 19 pounds per acre or something like that. But we went ahead and just went with a standard 24 across the three zones. Oklahoma State predicted a 30 in zone one, 47 in zone – no, wait, sorry. 47 in zone one, 24 in zone two, and then zero in zone three. And then typical farmer practice, we put out the 30 at planting and went back with a one-time application of 60 side dress. That side dress could be split just based on how you do it. The results from that test, basically seen here, there is a significant difference in yields between the three soil zones. That's why we broke it up into management zones like this rather than trying to do it as one whole field average. But there's not a significant difference in yields between the three methods. Thus, based on, that's what it said, there's no significant difference. Overall average, the Clemson and OSU together applied a 40% less fertilizer compared to the conventional method without having a significant difference in cotton yield. And then objective three was to develop and test affordable equipment for the site-specific and variable rate nitrogen application. There needs to be, growers need reasonably priced equipment. You don't want to go too high out there. And so on this equipment that we decided to work with, I performed three or four different tests, basically a static calibration, just getting everything ready to go for the field. I did application uniformity between the nozzles, a dynamic field test, and then a software control and performance test. The equipment that was used was just a four-row KBH culture side dress nitrogen applicator. And we used retrofitted the existing John Blue pump with it with a Rawson hydraulic controller there. That's the control box over to the right here for the Rawson controller. That's the hydraulic motor or hydraulic pump and hydraulic motor that controls the John Blue pump now. The static calibration test was performed on equipment at six different rates. And then the tests were they're not only performed just to check, make sure it was calibrated. That was a check nozzle uniformity, like I said earlier. Dynamic tests were performed on the same rates. So this time I went to SST, made a mock field map, randomly rotated the rates throughout the field to kind of give the applicator and the controlling software, you know, a chance to go from, say, a zero plot to a 15 plot or a 25 to a 40, you know, just to make sure that it's going to change rates the way it's supposed to when it's supposed to. Here's the results of the static test. Basically, a very low error there. It performed almost exactly what it was supposed to. No big deal there. Everything worked out pretty much right once we did a little bit of work to it. Dynamic test, however, there at the rates between 20 and 35, it performed fine. When you get up to the upper level, the reason the error is so high is that's equipment limitations there. The equipment limitations just kind of happened due to software error, and that was in the controller, in the Rawson controller. It's supposed to do like a 5-to-1 fold step, and it just kind of skewed the error there. You can see they're still uniform. Like these three are actually just as uniform as any of the three here, and almost the same here. They're just pushed where it was supposed to apply 15 gallons per acre here. It actually applied close to 19 to 20 here, where it was supposed to apply 40 gallons per acre. It pulled down to like 36, I think, were the exact numbers. And then to go to the software accuracy test, the software is good for grower use. There's no trouble at all there. It's not very good for research plot work unless you put alleyways or something in between your field to kind of differentiate. You don't want blurred. What ends up happening, you get blurred zones. An example there, at just 4 miles an hour, which is what I did my typical applications at, that's 5.8 feet of air at a 1 hertz update rate. So if you were traveling faster, more air, slower, basically less air there. And then for very precise plot work, it'd be nice to have a software with a higher update rate. The summary of objective three is the system closely followed recommended fertilizer application maps, and the errors for the static calibration test averaged down to 0.6, so it's well within the allowable error range for use. Dynamic test, again, it's kind of out of the range, but as long as you keep it within its allowable error range there, you're performing to the needed level. Like I said, the measured errors were due to equipment limitations. You just couldn't go outside of those range or below those ranges. It just needs to be kept within. And that's basically it. If you have any questions, comments, or anything to go with it, I think I've got a little bit of time.
Well, I'm curious, I guess, why the OSU algorithm, you know, prescribed different rates for your EC zones than the Clemson algorithm was based on, you know, different EC zones.
It, Well, we had different recommended rates by the Clemson one, but they were all so low. We just upped. I think how y'all do a one standard deviation move on your algorithm, if I'm right. We didn't do that on ours. So whereas your one standard deviation would have moved it all up, we just basically said, all right, we still have zero control plots here. We have this and that, and you are going to run into that situation. I think like you said in your presentation earlier, sometimes a grower's not going to say, that's calling for 0 or 2 pounds per acre. I'm not putting that out. No, he's still going to go and put out, even though it's confident, he would probably much rather put out 20 pounds per acre. So since we had the other plots in there already with zeros, we said, well, we'll go ahead and do what a grower would have done and see what, you know, we got to draw the equipment limitation somewhere and apply it with that.
That was the highest yield in all three zones was the blue bar, which was the farmer practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, so that wasn't statistically different. But what that means is you're not sure that it's different. But if you say, okay, what was different? What if you really just took these numbers? Did you come out ahead with your nitrogen savings for the yield difference there or not?
Yeah, it was basically based on which algorithm was used, average was 40%, you know, the savings, but based on the Clemson algorithm, we applied 54 pounds per acre. You know, that's right at 40 pounds per acre less than what you'd normally apply. The OSU in the high EC zone, we applied just the 30 pounds per acre at planting, so you save 60 pounds per acre there. And my opinion, for what it, I hadn't run like actual dollar numbers on it yet, but from what I've seen for yield and what you get out of it, I'm confident that you're going to come out ahead with it's within like 50-100 pounds of air. Of yield there, all three of the different ones in each zone. I was actually really surprised when I got looking at the yield data and saw how close those bars lined up together based on the rates that we applied.
Any other questions? All right, appreciate it.
Thank you.